Our guest on our program today is Jolene Philo.
Hello, how are you?
Good, good. Nice to have you come back again. It's been so long. I should have more regular visits with you.
I'm ready to do it every year, every October. I put out a book every October.
Is that right?
Yep.
So last time I visited, and I told people, I said, the last time I recalled visiting with you, you had just put out or were working, just put out, I think it was the Caregiver Notebook.
Mm-hmm.
And so that had been like that several years ago.
Yeah. So, I think almost 10. There have been a few other books since.
So a few since then. For those that remember, you've covered a number of different areas. You started out really on parenting.
And, mm-hmm. Parenting and kids with disabilities.
Mm-hmm. Working on that. And then you got into the caregiver. You've kind of transitioned through a couple of different. And now you're into fiction.
That's right. Yeah. I've written, in 2015, I had a couple books come out. One about post-traumatic stress disorder in kids and one about including kids with disabilities at church. Then in 2019, one that I co-wrote with Dr. Gary Chapman about using the love languages in families impacted by disability. And then I decided it was kind of time for a change. I'd always wanted to write fiction. So I think it was 2022, my first fiction book came out. I started a mystery series called The West River Mysteries. And the first book is called See Jane Run. And it's about a gal from Northwest Iowa who moves out in the late 70s to Northwestern South Dakota in the middle of nowhere and teaches country school. Similar to what I did, except I was married when my husband and I moved out there. And I've published the fourth book in the series, is just came out, and it's called See Jane Dig.
So, again, just the interest in doing fiction is, or just trying something different, or?
Yeah, I always have loved mysteries.
Oh.
And I also decided that probably for my own mental health, constantly writing about my son, who had a pretty significant disability at birth, and then telling stories about my father, who had multiple sclerosis the whole time I was growing up. Maybe it's not a mentally healthy space to stay in always. Yeah. Plus, there are a lot more younger families and younger parents who have kids with disabilities who are coming up and writing books about caregiving that are probably more relevant to young parents now than I am. They look at me and they're like, what? She didn't even have a cell phone when her kid was in the hospital. They didn't even have a phone in their hospital room. What are you talking about? So I decided to make that transition and it's been a blast.
Okay. So you're having fun doing this.
Oh my gosh. So much fun.
Okay. So what drove you? Well, obviously using your experience and your location, your locales, that all ties into giving you what you wanted to write about and stuff. And how did you come up with you said you liked mysteries, but this teacher out here, single teacher out here.
Yes. Well, my first thought was how come there aren't many mystery books where the protagonist is a teacher? Because who reads a lot? Teachers. Who need more representation? Teachers. And, so that the world can really see what it's like to teach and what it's like to interact with kids in a classroom. And then my first teaching job was in Northwestern South Dakota. We were in a tiny town of 92 people, 2 miles from Montana and 20 miles from North Dakota. Every road going into town was gravel, and that included the state highway. So it was a very remote area. I taught for 2 years at a ranch for boys who were in trouble with the law called Sky Ranch that was out there. And my husband was a caseworker. He was a caseworker there 7 years. But after 2 years, I was able to get a job in the public school system that was countywide in our little town that had a K-8 building.
Mm-hmm.
And we had either two or three teachers, depending on how many students. So I had the lower grades classroom. Mm-hmm. And it was the most interesting teaching experience I've ever had and the hardest work I've ever done. I did that for 5 years. But I always thought this would make the best setting for a cozy mystery because they're set in little towns and you got lots of quirky characters. And boy, did we have quirky characters. And just, and there's so many interesting places out there that I thought this would be a great place to set a mystery. And I've really done most of the research already. I know what it's like.
I know what it's there. So first one was See Jane Run?
Yes.
Okay, and obviously our teacher's name is Jane.
Yes, her name is Jane Newell. And I wanted to do that because of the Fun with Dick and Jane books. Sure. Also, so Jane's teaching kids how to read. So yep. I just thought that was kind of a fun play on that. When we moved to Camp Crook, was the name where we lived. When we moved there in 78, a rancher disappeared and has never been found. Neither has his body. Mm-hmm. So that became the event around which the first book was built.
Okay, so you got something to go back to or tie into. Mm-hmm. And then you call it cozy mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an interesting, what is that description?
Okay. Like? As I said, they're usually in small communities with some mm-hmm. quirky characters. There's an amateur sleuth. There may be a professional, like a law enforcement person yeah. involved in it too. And then the violence is never overt, you know, okay. you stumble on a body.
Okay.
And then there's a lot of humor and interplay between the different characters and the relationships. So
that's got to be a lot of fun.
Oh, it's hilarious. When I started writing the series, we go out and visit out there quite often. I was telling people, they said, well, you have to have the telephone operator system in it. The year before we moved, they switched from switchboard to a regular rotary phone and no party lines anymore. It was one of the last two places in the country that had done that. And the switchboard operator was, and her husband were unique in that she had been one of the first cleft palate, cleft lip repairs mm-hmm. done at Mayo Clinic, and it was not done well, and she was hard to understand. But she knew everything that was going on in town and, she was the communication hub of the town.
Sure.
And then her husband did all the line work. He would climb the poles and fix the lines, and he was blind. I am not kidding. He was blind, but he could hear a lot what was going on. Like if the lines were twisted, he could hear it and fix it. And if he needed to repair lines, he just had somebody at the bottom saying, okay, you got the red wire in your left hand, you got the green wire in your right hand, to give him those visual instructions. So they kind of, they're in there, it's just all sorts of things like that.
So playing off a lot of what you experienced and what you had going on. So you get the first book done, and then right away, do you start thinking, I need more? First of all, how hard, it's not a hard read.
No, it's not a hard read. People ask me how young or how old or what grade level is this for? And I'm like, well, they're written for grownups. But I have had some of the parents of my students, former students out there, have let their kids read the books, and they're good readers, but at 10 or 11, they can get through it.
Oh, sure.
My oldest fan, I just visited yesterday at Eastern Star Home, and she's 96. And she's been telling all of her table mates at Eastern Star Home. So I went and told them kind of the history and showed them pictures. Okay. And they all bought the latest book. They all said, you know what we're going to be doing tonight. And so anywhere in between.
Okay. So you got the first one done. Mm-hmm. Second one.
It's called See Jane Sing. Okay. And I wrote those two quite quickly that people could get hooked into the series.
Sure.
And that one, Jane and her fellow teacher are preparing for the Christmas program. And, of course, she goes out hunting for a Christmas tree in the Buttes, stumbles over a dead body.
No, another
dead body from a ranch called Fly Ranch. It's a ranch for delinquent boys. And then that mystery gets solved. She comes in with a black eye covered by makeup for the Christmas program, because she just has solved the mystery, right beforehand. Yeah. Then the third book is See Jane Dance. It begins after the New Year. She comes home and finds out that the grumpy school janitor, the switchboard operator, and her mother, who lives in Sioux City, but they've all gotten to be good friends over the phone, they have signed her up for square dance lessons and paid for it. But she doesn't find out until she goes to the first lesson is that they've also let every bachelor, rancher, or cowboy in the county know about it. For the first time in square dance lesson history, there are more men there than women. And that night, of course, she stumbles over another
dead
body and gets that mystery solved just by Valentine's Day. And then the fourth mystery that just came out is See Jane Dig, and it's about April, and she's taking her kids on a field trip to a dinosaur dig outside of town.
Okay.
And this county, the real county, is known for dinosaurs, like Tyrannosaurus Sioux and Tyrannosaurus, South Dakota Sioux and South Dakota Stan were both found in that county.
In that county. So you can relate to, they can relate to it and you get out there.
Yeah.
And then has all kinds of issues going
on. She does.
With.
I mean, she's taking her kids on a field trip and she stumbles over not a dead body yet, but someone who has been injured. So she has to take it from there.
Yeah, keep going from there.
I know. Yeah, it's just my son says, Mom, if I was a parent of one of your students, I wouldn't let him go to school at your school.
because it's, we're always finding dead bodies. Again, that's one of the things I was wondering is because you want to keep them fairly easy for people to read, enjoyable, like you call it, cozy mystery.
Right.
Very easy to and comfortable to relate to and hear, you know, and imagine what's going on because it's always theater of the mind. You get to.
Yeah. Yeah. And the characters are so, I mean, some characters have sprung up who I didn't even expect. And it's just like, I'm writing away and it's like, oh, I can't believe she just said that. Or I can't believe, you know, that Betty, the switchboard operator, already knows this before Jane does.
Before.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Yeah.
One thing we can tell everybody is this book is available. It went on sale the beginning of the month.
Yes, you can get it on Amazon. And it is, if you just look up See Jane Dig and then put Philo behind it, P-H-I-L-O, it'll bring up that book and it'll show you the others in the series.
Okay.
If you're one of those people who has to start with the first one.
Got to start at the beginning and work my way through. Yeah, that's always good. So this, I mean, how many, if it's a small county and you only have so many people there, we got it. Are you thinking, does it branch out any?
It does a little bit. The fifth mystery, which I have written in the rough draft form, I just finished it a few weeks ago, and no one can see it because it's terrible right now. It actually, a lot of the mystery takes place down in Sturgis during the motorcycle rally.
Ooh,
because bikers always would go through our little town. They'd think they were on a shortcut, but they would not have noticed that that shortcut involves 58 miles of gravel. So, but she gets down to the rally, and that one's called See Jane Ride, of course.
Yeah, okay.
And in the future, I think there's going to be a total of 10. I've got them kind of mapped out.
Okay.
And one of them is going to take place during Christmas vacation when she goes back to Sioux City.
Okay.
And she's going to be going to the Palmer Candy Company.
Okay.
And the reason I'm writing this one is I want to tour it. And I know that if I tell them I'm writing a book, they will give me a tour. They'll
give you a tour.
And I just want to see what it's like in there.
At the Palmer County.
Yeah.
Pretty cool when I think about it. Yeah. We have, yes, there's great candy coming out of there.
It is.
This is, again, it's got to be exciting. Have you thought about at some point, once you finish this part up, venturing off into another genre?
I have some ideas.
So other things that you can do.
I have to live long enough, you know, but this is a great way to spend my retirement. I would love to do a series about the Civil War. I think it's great-great-great-grandfather was in the Civil War through the whole war, and he wrote letters home throughout the war, and they were all kept. So our family has them. They're in vaults like at Stanford University, you know, but we all have transcripts of them. And I would love to write something, a historical novel related to that, because he has in those letters the places where he was, you know, the big battles.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be an interesting book to write at some point.
You know, we do have different writer clubs at the library and things like that, and people looking to do the writing and For you, you got started pretty, you know, when you went through the process, you kind of how you wanted to format it and how you wanted to deliver the message. And now into this area, this is, again, like you said, a whole new venture.
It really is. Fiction. Yeah. Nonfiction is more like you do the research, you find all the pieces and you put them together, kind of like a jigsaw puzzle. Yeah. Fiction, you have to get all the characters set and the arc of your story. You have to know the whole arc of the individual story. And then with this series, I have to know the arc of the character's journey through through all 10, you know, how far is each book going to take her? So that's really interesting, but I enjoy doing that. And my daughter is actually one of the editors at the publisher, which is Midwestern Books. They're trying to publish books by Midwestern authors with more of a Midwestern feel. She's very gifted at helping authors arc out, create the outline for each book. So she helps me. We do like a 2-hour workshop before I start writing.
She gets you on track.
She does. She
gets you on track.
Yeah.
Here's what...
And I never completely stay on track, but, you know, I try.
You go where your story is taking you, too.
That's right.
There's that.
And like I said, new characters pop up. In the C. Jane Ride, about 3/4 of the way through, a character popped up that I never expected. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, there's possibilities here that's going to go on to future books. Oh, this is pretty unique.
When you get one popping up like that, does that just somebody that comes into the story or...
Yeah.
Because they couldn't really, I mean...
You know, I knew I needed someone to play this role, but I didn't expect it to be this person and then that this... Yeah. Once I had that person, she it's a female. Yeah. She can be used so many different ways in the future.
You keep...
It's just fun, like I said.
Is it hard to keep all track of all of them? Fortunately, you have a small cast, essentially.
Yeah, but I have a big spreadsheet that I have every character's name and when they were born and what their all their physical description.
Sure.
Their horse, what their horse is like if they're a cowboy or a cowgirl.
Yeah.
Their vehicles, where they live, all that information on a chart for easy access, but I also write up a character, like a backstory for every character, and I have that I can look at later.
So you can go back see, here's what I was thinking when I did this.
Right, and here's what's driving that character, what makes that character do what they do.
And if you keep doing this, you know, your students are going to age.
They are, and they're going to be a year older this year. That's part of it. Oh, and I did want to mention one thing more. There's going to be a book party.
Okay.
Book launch party over in Ames at Chocolatery Stom on Main Street, November 2nd. That's a Saturday.
Okay.
10:30 to noon. And I will have books for sale. There will be some free chocolate. There will be drawings for some free gifts for gift certificates to Chocolatery Stom. And they have all sorts of goodies you can buy and sip and eat.
If you have an opportunity, put it on your calendar now. What, November 2nd, right?
November 2nd, 10:30 to noon. It's always a fun time.
Okay. Have you gone out to other locations and done as... Or outside of coming here to the station, I mean, to, let folks know about the book. You said you went out to Eastern Star.
Yes, I've been to Eastern Star. I've done several libraries in the state. Okay. This summer, we were out in Western South Dakota, and I did some things at different bookstores and libraries and all sorts of places.
We find, you know, and you mentioned the Midwestern Press thing, too, and with our bookstores that we have available and have around this area too. We're seeing a lot of interest in Midwestern type settings. People can relate to a lot of those.
They really can. And one of the reasons I was interested is most publishers are on the East or West Coast, and they have an idea of what they think the Midwest is like. But for the most part, unless they've lived here, they don't quite understand. Like someone asked me, well, if this book is in 1978, why don't you have any hippies in the town? And I know the town, and I'm like, there just weren't hippies.
No.
Hippies didn't want to come there, for one thing. So it's just that kind of what we think it is and what it really is different.
Sure. It is. I can remember that.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the newest book called See Jane Dig.
That's great.
Fourth in this series. Mm-hmm. And if you're like me, you like to start at one and work your way through and got to make it so it's not too hard to keep track of everybody. So.
No, it isn't. Nope. And the newest book, one of the fun things right now, only my book launch people have, is a map of the town that was made by a very gifted young man who's artistic. Yeah. And at some point, that'll probably be available to more readers who will enjoy that.
Then they'll be able to look and say, there we go.
And one of the fun things we'll do at the party is I will have some... a slideshow of some of the places so people can see what it looks like out there.
So this is where I got my ideas.
Yep.
This is how we do. I do appreciate you taking time to come and visit with us. Again, they can go Amazon.
Amazon.
Easy way to do that. Check with the bookstore. Go over on November 2nd. Visit there. And again, it's called See Jane Dig, but it's the whole series.
The West River Mystery Series.
West River Mystery Series.
Mm-hmm.
A cozy mystery.
Yes, cozy mystery series.
I like that. I do. It's interesting to because I knew what you were doing before, and to see this transition, it's entertaining for me anyway to see the different things you get to challenge yourself with.
Right. And one of the things I haven't mentioned is that many of the characters in the books do have disabilities, and they're not on the sidelines watching the action. They're involved in the story and part of the action, which I think is a representation that's needed in fiction and elsewhere in our culture.
Part of reality.
Yes, it is.
I do appreciate you coming and visiting us. Jolene Filo, our guest, thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much.